step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
The world, but there isn't another city outside.
This is Offstage and On the Air. Performance number 381. You heard the ghosting voice of Mr. Robert Sims behind me a second ago. But I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro, and Mr. Nick Mayo, Nick Squared. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at KOOP.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. On the show today, we have Zat Theater and their show Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Later on in the show, we'll be talking to Gaslight Baker Theater and their production of Incorruptible. And of course, we will have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina, and all the other Carolinas. Stick with us.
Calling my heart to you.
Okay, I usually like something a little bit more upbeat, but that was just, that was just so pretty.
It's a good, song.
And a really good cut.
Yeah,
a very good cut. And I'll tell you, I was listening to Alexa and her mix, and that was playing, and I went, I just don't play enough ragtime.
She has a new rival, that Alexa, coming up. I forgot to tell you about
She's got
that.
Someone
new's coming out trying to steal her thunder, and I said, Lisa Sheps is not going to like that.
You know what? The bloom is off the rose with Alexa, I've just got to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You used to have quite a love affair.
Like her, don't love her. I love her. I'm not in
She's
love with her.
She's sleeping on the couch.
I like the ragtime choice specifically because a couple of weeks ago when they did that concert version at Ellis Island.
Uh-huh.
Such a
Did
cool,
you see it?
I did not.
Well, it's coming. If they're going to do it, that's what's her name who does all the experiential stuff. She did the bus. Why can I never remember
Violet.
The Sutton Foster? She did Violet in a bus.
See,
I think it needs to be forgotten. That's why.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Music's great.
Wasn't in. I actually, when I went to see it, I was. I'm sorry, Sutton, because she listens to the show. I was nodding off a little bit. Checking in with Nick Squared. How you guys doing?
We're here.
I am here. Good.
Yeah.
We're at South by South. Or South by, come
ACL.
On, ACLN. And
did you ACL, Nick?
I did, just a little bit. A little bit.
And we know Nick ACL.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are y'all ACLing time. Next week?
No, I got my fix at LL Cool J. I'm good to go.
Okay. Anybody else going to ACL? No. So let me give, you wouldn't know it by listening, but there are quite a few people here in the studio, and I will
they're all
explain to
shows.
Them that
how are
shaking
they going?
The heads doesn't work on the radio. Let's introduce all the folks that are here, and I'm going to start with the hardest one here to pronounce. Anthony Tudorov.
Yes, Tudorov.
Yeah, I got it. And Chanel, hold on, what's your last name? Hayes Schwartz?
Yes.
Haynes or Hayes?
Haynes.
Haynes, that's what I wrote.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Lori Cadova, all the way up to the microphone.
I'm here.
You're here. That microphone can be moved down to make it easier for you. James Springer.
Hello.
And Mr. Jason Jones.
Hi.
And Lauren Lovell's back there in the background. Shout
She's
out,
hello. She's trying to hide.
There she is.
Oh, she, that was,
we
Lauren, that
mom.
Was mighty today.
There's so much to talk about and so very little time to talk about it. But I'm going to start very quickly. I was on the airplane yesterday, and in the American Airlines magazine for October, it's Phantom Figures, and it's all the stuff about my favorite show, Phantom of the Opera, said sarcastically. but it's getting to be its 30th anniversary on the 9th, and today's what, the 5th?
Mm-hmm.
6th,
mm-hmm.
Whatever. So here's some things to know about. It's one of those things that shows numbers. Here, I'll show everybody. It shows numbers.
But it also shows the mask, because how it can you not have
look,
the mask in
how
the
How did
Phantom
I not know it was
piece.
Phantom if I didn't have the mask? So 6,000 Guess what that is. Anybody?
Phantoms.
Different productions.
Yawns.
Oh, yeah. Number of beads that bedazzle the replica of the chandelier.
Ooh.
Oh. I like that. I like trivia. Keep going.
35 and 164.
35.
And 164. Countries and cities.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours.
The runtime?
How long it takes to put on the Phantom.
It's over.
Yes, very good. That was a trick one, and you got it. Okay, and 230.
Phantoms.
Number of costumes per show.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of costumes.
That is a lot of costumes.
I love this one. For those of you, I'll give you a hint. This is a techie one. 551.
Number of lights?
Pounds of dry ice. Oh. Plus 10 fog and smoke machines.
Shoo.
That's a lot.
So that's sort of cool.
Hey, that's interesting. I like that.
We had one Broadway opening, which looks very, very interesting. The Encounter.
Dun, dun.
Anybody?
Is it just me?
It's just you.
Well, this seems to be because we have an off-Broadway opening and we have a Broadway opening.
Yeah, I was following the off-Broadway.
Both are
Broadway.
One-person shows,
which is interesting, right?
So, but this is very interesting. The headline
the
says,
rainforest
anybody
one?
Hear the encounter? Yes.
Is this, okay.
Anybody hear the encounter?
I've not.
So it takes place in the Amazon Labyrinth, and it's this
with
guy. And you go and you sit in your seat and you put on headphones.
Yes, yes, yes. We talked
and
about
that. It's Oh, did you?
Yeah.
One day when I wasn't here.
I think so.
Yeah, so it's one of these 4D experiences, and it actually sounds pretty cool. It's at the Golden Theater. It's a London show from a theater company called Complicate, which is not spelled the way you would think it's spelled.
Because it has to be complicated.
Because it can't be simple, can it?
Yes, they have to complicate.
So it stars a gentleman by the name of Simon McBurney. And it's what he calls a walk across your brain.
Hmm.
I kind
of
like that.
And it's a combination of you're watching this person on stage, and the sounds are coming from all over the place. And sometimes it's not. It looks like it's him talking, but he's really lip syncing to whatever the thing is saying.
Yeah,
it's pretty. Sounds pretty amazing.
You just pity the ASM and come on.
It's a lot of calls.
So here's some of the questions. So it doesn't seem to have a plot to me. It's more metaphysical questions. But here's some of the questions that it explores: Is consciousness possible without memory? Is time only a structuring fiction devised by humans? Which I believe it is. Does time have one or two dimensions? Can language exist without words? Does the introduction of modern materialist cultures into indigenous communities inevitably destroy their essence?
Wow, those are not light.
I was like,
no.
It's a light evening at the theater.
Heavy duty. Not only is that, it's 2 hours long.
Now do these questions get
Wait
answered?
Wait a second, let me finish. 2 hours long. No intermission.
See, I like that.
No, not 2 hours.
Oh.
That's 30 minutes too long for no intermission.
Well, I guess.
That's like Follies.
It's just like Follies. That's what they like in it.
And Big Show.
With dead showgirls cruising around.
So anyway, it looks very, very interesting. It's at the Golden Theater. Is it a limited run? It closes January 8th currently.
I think it is, right? Yeah.
So that's cool. And then what we all wanted to talk about was the Judith Light soiree into one person showdom. And that show is called All the Ways to Say I Love You, which got sort of a review.
It was interesting
in the Times.
On what you read. And then the stuff that was total like love letters wasn't even about the show. It was just about her.
They like her. I mean, it wasn't even a love letter.
No. It was interesting. She was on the Today Show this morning. And I just sat there talking to her and I don't know if she heard me, but I told her I loved her.
Well, that's
lot.
Lovely. Well, this she is heard. A Neil LaBute play, which I dawned on me after reading this. I don't think I've ever read or seen anything.
Ooh.
But he's very, very dark.
Yeah.
Yes.
He really explores the darkness in the human psyche. And she plays a teacher who is sort of looking inward and outwardly about herself. And so just one of the things that says he doesn't have any mercy. And she says she's a high school English teacher who is clearly going to suffer until she dies for a single, albeit very big mistake. And that mistake was an affair with a young student.
That happens?
You don't see it on stage.
I'm kidding.
Oh, that happens in real life.
Yeah.
Art. Anyway, Love Me Some Judith Light. I don't know that I'm going to run out to see this.
You know what? I think that it's one that I would, just because I love her. And I think that it's, I think also, you know, Neil DeBute play and Lee Silverman directing. Come on.
True. All good things.
And MCC. They do good stuff.
Yeah. MCC. Done.
It's like
anything
better
else
than
on that
a
one?
Trifecta over there.
Come on
the
now.
Way you're talking.
I'm just a little positive today.
There was an interesting story by our very good friend Michael Riedel about the Front Page.
Oh.
Which I actually find this interesting. So Front Page, which has got a cacophony of stars in it and is opening soon. So if you remember back in the old days, back when I did Broadway, the theater critics came on opening night.
On horses.
Horses had not been brought to this country then.
Sorry, Lisa. It was too good.
It was too easy. It was too easy. But it would be really funny if the
Can
wheel
I just
had
tell
been invented.
You, that
by
would
that
make
point.
Opening night so much cooler.
So back in the day, the critics came on opening night. Now the critics come about a week prior to opening, and they just sort of filter in. They're doing that for the Front Page. They're not allowing the critics to come till opening night.
Ooh.
Yeah. Except one of the critics, except for David Rooney, the Hollywood Reporter. This is where the Michael Riedel part comes in, because it's a little snarky. So he emailed the press agent saying, "I have close friends in Australia that week and I'm booked for a farewell dinner. Aside from anything else, I don't relish the prospect of having to turn in a review of one of the major shows in a couple of hours." You know, nobody works at that pace anymore. Mm-mm. Shame on him for saying that, actually.
Inaccurate.
The answer back to him was, "Critics reviewed Broadway shows on Broadway this way for 100 years. You can do it for one night and get over it."
Good.
Good for them.
Was that Scott Rudin saying? Was that the producer?
I think it was Scott Rudin, yeah. And this reporter had another issue with Scott Rudin over whatever his last big play was. I forgot what it was. The producer, it's in here somewhere. It's linked on the show, offstageonair.com. Michael Riedel.
But that's definitely one that I think we're all looking forward to seeing.
Oh,
definitely.
Obsessed.
Definitely.
Like,
I would make a special trip just to see it.
Pulled out the calendar earlier today to look at that again to figure it out.
Absolutely. So, so we're not really going to talk about the show. There's this show called that also opened off Broadway called Trial of an American President, in which George W. Bush is put on trial by 8 members of the audience about his war crimes. I'm using air quotes, or in my case, not air quotes, but air quotes. But anyway, so it got me thinking about politics. So did everybody watch the piece of theater last Monday night?
I watched it last Monday night, and I also watched
last
night.
Last night was not much of theater.
Hey, I thought it was an SNL skit for a while. I'm like, are these real people? Is this happening?
I was yawning throughout most of the thing. But the theater community is getting very involved in politics this season. And everybody leans left, which is fine for me because I lean left. I support Hillary. But what you're going to hear is relatively one-sided because that's how I feel. But Randy Rainbow, does anybody listen to Randy Rainbow?
I've listened to him a couple times. He's a funny dude.
He is funny. He's got a YouTube channel. He does all these. He does a lot of. He had a Broadway.com series for a while. And he's quite funny. He interjects and he puts himself into other situations as interviews with famous people. Well, he came out with this song after the debate. And I was going to play the whole thing, but I don't have time. But you remember Donald Trump used the word braggadocious, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next day? Okay, so just give a listen.
He's super callous, fragile, egocentric, braggadocious. Likes to throw big words around and hopes that we all notice. If he keeps repeating them, they might just make him POTUS. Super careless, fragile, ego, extra braggadocious. Are you really gonna vote for this guy? You're really gonna vote for this guy? Are you really gonna vote for this guy? Are you really gonna vote for this guy? He says that he's the man and thinks he's got the Midas touch. But does he have a plan to fix the country?
Not so much.
And if you're not convinced by all of that hyperbole, he says, shut up, just buy a stupid hat and vote for me. He's super careless, fragile, that's why Hillary's relaxed this time. But Clinton might as well sit back and play the saxes. Wife erased her emails and now Trump wants total access. Then once hell has frozen over, he'll release his taxes. Are you really gonna vote for this guy?
We're gonna leave that to you. That the video is linkable on our site, and go look at the video because this is he plays
it's Lester
Holt.
Clever.
He's the
Lester
moderator
Holt.
of the and he's very, very clever. He does a lot of that stuff. And the other thing I want to play, Submissions Only, which we've talked about. Did you watch that, Nick?
I did. I just think they do such a great job.
They do a great job.
We really love them.
Really, really, really. Kate and Ken.
And Kate was on our show.
I was like, Yeah.
Kate Weatherhead, who spearheaded that show. They've done 3 seasons, and it's been about 2 years, and they haven't done a season. They did promise on this at the end, which we will not play the whole thing, but at the end of this, they said if everybody votes for Hillary, they will do a 4th season. So for some of us, that might be a reason. But I do. They did a get out the vote ad specifically for Hillary Clinton. This is very partisan, but I just want y'all to hear a little piece of it. And the whole cast got together to do this, including Andrew Keenan-Bolger by iPhone.
Oh, because nice.
He's doing something right now. I think he's doing something. He's out doing...
He's always doing something.
Oh, no, it wasn't Andrew Keenan-Bolger. Andrew Keenan-Bolger's
Santino
in it.
Fontana.
Santino Fontana, who's in L.A. doing every series known to man
yes.
at this point. Okay, so let's listen to a little bit of this.
Don't get too excited, Penny. This is an intervention.
An intervention?
Mm-hmm.
For what? I swear I gave up Splenda 3 months ago.
You're not registered to vote, Pen.
So?
So... We can't stand around and watch that kind of complacency.
You guys, I'm not being complacent. I just don't think Donald Trump has a very good chance of being elected president. I mean, there are already enough Democrats out there to get Hillary Clinton. Ow!
Gail, I said no hitting.
It was reflexive. She's being ridiculous.
What's so great about this is they have such a young audience that they know that what they're saying is actually landing on the ears of the people who need to hear it.
Yep.
So
yeah.
I think it's awesome.
I do as well. So that ends the political portion of our thing. But if you have not seen Submissions Only, we've talked about it on the show for
hilarious.
A while. It's worth going back and listening to watching all 3 seasons. Each episode is like 10 minutes long, and they have every Broadway star known. It's amazing. Cheetah's been on.
Everybody's been on.
When it started, they were like, hey, you want to come and do this? A friend of a friend. And then it got to the point where they would have casting calls for it. So they've really, in a
right.
short
well,
amount
was,
of time.
Well, she and Andrew, who started it, were looking for a way to practice their talent when they weren't doing shows.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty smart. Okay, well then we're going to go on to the next thing then. We did have some sad news. Gordon Davidson passed away, and he was the artistic director of the Mark Taper Forum. And he passed away. He was 83.
I was like, he was old, wasn't he?
He was old, but still, you know, we still talk about it.
It just makes you feel like you had a fuller life. It's not quite as tragic. It's still sad.
So the Mark Taper Forum has done several shows that have gone to Broadway. Here are a few. The Shadow Box, Children of a Lesser God, Angels in America, transferred from there to Broadway. I mean, that was before. I mean, recently we've had a lot of transfers to Broadway from the regions, like Alliance Stage and what's her name?
Tamar.
Pippin. Who did Pippin?
Tamar.
Not Julie
Tamar. Oh, Diane Paulus.
Diane Paulus, and that then yep. her theater is.
A-R-T.
It's, yeah, so thank
A-R-T,
you.
A-R-T, right?
Yes. Anyway, so he passed away, and his cause of death hasn't been determined. I'm guessing he was 83 years old.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Okay. Secret Garden.
Secret Garden.
I'm so excited.
And they're doing it in Seattle, which is... makes me happy.
They're doing it in Seattle and in D.C.
But see, here's the thing. They're all like today announcing the Daisy Egan. I already thought we knew Daisy Egan was attached to this.
We did, but it's notable for a good reason. Daisy Egan won the Tony for it back in 2000 whatever, and she was the youngest winner of a Tony Award.
Correct. Night. Yes. Miss Mary.
Yeah. I've never seen Secret Garden.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
They did it at St. Edward's a couple of years ago in that small space.
What hasn't St. Edward's done?
I didn't see it when it was there.
But
I love this show. I love the music.
I want to see it. I may go to D.C. to see it.
So it's in D.C. in December and then in Seattle in May?
It is. I can tell you exactly because I'm sure I have it here. It is November 15th to December in... Seattle, in Washington, and April 14th to May 6th in Seattle. Directed by David Armstrong, who, as you know, is Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong's little boy. Oh.
Art, that's...
It's true. the other thing that we didn't talk about, we've talked about it on this show so often, Prince of Broadway.
Yes.
Showed up in Michael Riedel's column last week.
Yes.
Gonna happen again, they're saying.
They're going to have to change the title from Harold Prince's 60-year career to 70th year career.
Well, they just did it in Tokyo earlier this year.
No, it's a worthy career to... I mean, it's perfect.
It's absolutely perfect.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things to choose from.
So it is slated to open at
the
Samuel Friedman Theater.
Yeah, but he has aged since the last headshot that they've been using since they've done the show.
From this
he looked about
to this.
Yeah, come on.
That's funny.
Directed by Susan Stroman. And he's 88 years old. So
is it going to be the same? Like, it was Emily Skinner. And
yep.
It's all going to be
it's
the same.
Emily
That's
Skinner,
awesome.
Well, it's not been announced, but they're assuming that it is going to be. I got to remember that there's a list. Emily Skinner, Raymond Karam Liu. I can't pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy Opel. They did this in Japan.
Tokyo.
Japan. Oh, Tokyo. Oh, you know what? Never mind. Okay. Okay. Oh, we're gonna do okay on time. Well, you know, I'm going to switch to some of the stuff that Nicole wanted to talk about. You want to talk about Gilmore Girls and Liza.
No, I didn't want to talk about Gilmore Girls. Was for you personally, but you stuck it on the list.
Well, I thought you wanted it.
No,
there.
You love the Gilmore Girls. I thought you'd be.
Who doesn't love the Gilmore Girls? Anybody?
She loves the Gilmore Girls.
Never
so when I see
up,
all
yeah.
the info coming up, I
Honey,
fill
you
it
need,
in.
It's Netflixable.
Yeah,
you need to see it anyway. So it's coming back, but they're in Austin. They're
Luke's Diner.
They're
will
making
be here.
Luke's Diner. They're doing five pop ups. Of Luke's Diner on there's a specific day that it's
I sent
happening.
That to you because I thought you'd want to go. That
I
was just
wanna...
I was no.
It's today. Yeah, it's this evening. You can go to either. Let me since we're talking about it, I'm going to give you the names of the places if I can find it. Oh, here they are: Vintage Heart Coffee, Summer Moon Coffee Bar, and the Cafe Medici at the Austonian and 800 Congress. There's others in Dallas and Houston and. Lions and tigers and bears. So now, talk about Ms. Minnelli and Mr. Feinstein.
Did you see this?
I did. You were hysterical for sending that.
Oh my God! How do you not talk about it?
Why is this so fun? I don't get.
She got on stage and they sang songs about Mama. They sang a whole bunch of Judy Garland songs. That's awesome.
Judy Garland. Okay.
It was at Feinstein's at Nico.
How many
Nico.
Times
she
has
just
Judy
up
Garland
on stage?
Performed on Broadway?
Zero.
That's not true.
One?
Oh.
Four.
Four?
What?
Yeah, but it's her... zero if you count shows. But
oh,
she did
her image.
She did her stuff. But
yeah,
she's in
like,
IBDB four times.
That's
kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought she had done that one.
No, I love her. And she sang stories and she was sitting back at the end of the piano like the way she should be. And
my favorite...
I don't know.
The thing that I will take away for the rest of my life is intermission of how to succeed in business without really trying. When the door swung open and her cigarette was out before she was... And she was out smoking in the alley with us cast. And I literally didn't have my wig on and went, Liza Minnelli saw me without my wig on.
Oh,
coolest
no.
moment of my life. Just a cloud of smoke on the side of the Hirschfeld.
When was this?
About
six years ago.
Now, did
five
you do How to
ago?
Succeed with Matthew Broderick and Hoja Magosh?
No, I did it with
you
John Larroquette and Daniel Radcliffe.
Harry
oh,
Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe. I forgot that was... Time is going by too fast.
He was with the Harry Potter.
He was with the Harry Potter. Okay, you ready for the quiz?
Yep.
Okay, the August Wilson Theater was formerly... I got 4 out of 5, so pressure's on. This is for everybody. The August Wilson Theater is formerly known as the Virginia, the Royale, or the Globe.
The August Wilson?
August Wilson.
What are the options?
Virginia,
Royale, or Globe. I will tell you I got this wrong, and I shouldn't have, because I've performed in this theater.
But the Royale was on a different street, so the August Wilson...
It's got to be August Wilson.
It couldn't be Royale if it's
so
a different
it's the Globe?
So it's August Wilson.
August Wilson is what it's called now.
Oh. It's August Wilson. It's just August
it's the
Wilson.
Virginia.
What?
And I didn't think it was right because Virginia was the Anta. And then I went online to see what the Anta Theater is, and I don't remember what it, Anta is a What is it when words spell letters? When letter? When
oh,
you,
palindrome.
Acronym? No.
Oh,
no, not
forward
a palindrome.
And backward.
Oh, no. Madam, I'm Adam.
I was like, an it's
acronym.
Not a palindrome.
It was an acronym, but it was the very first nonprofit theater. It was the
She's pretty.
It was the roundabout of its day. Huh. It was a nonprofit theater back in 1920, 1930, something like that. Okay.
That's interesting.
I'm going to do this without... I'm going to at first not give you choices. See if you can get it without choices. Tammy
did you
Grimes,
get it without choices?
Yes, I did, because okay. This is an easy one for me. And that's why it might be easy for others.
Okay.
Tammy Grimes played this principal role in which Broadway musical... Played the principal role in which Broadway musical in 1960? Unsinkable Molly Brown.
Epic oh. fail.
Yeah, sorry.
That's on you, Lisa.
Yeah, it's on me. What year did Wicked open on Broadway? 2003, 2004, 2005?
2003.
Yeah, pretty easy. Mm-hmm. What famous program did Derek Jacobi star in? First of all, without? Anybody know without?
Famous program?
TV program.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like...
Masterpiece Theater, to be specific.
Oh. Was he doing skits in the middle of 42nd Street? Did I miss something?
Derek Jacobi.
I, Claudius. Was it I, Claudius? Yes.
yes.
Which playwright commented, "There's always something fishy about the French"?
The was birthday it, party. I'm
was it Oscar?
Sorry, it's always the answer every week.
What was it? Oscar Wilde, Noel Coward, or Ben Elton?
Noel Coward.
Who's Ben Elton?
I was just about to go. How did Ben Elton get in there with those? That
yes,
company?
You were right, by the way. Okay, that's it. And we're just 2 minutes behind schedule, so that's good.
Winning.
So, we are winning. So now we're going to play From the Secret Garden. I did play From the Secret Garden last week.
Yes,
when I played.
We
yeah.
did.
So now we're going to hear
we
a little bit of
Wick
a
song.
Hold On, which Daisy Egan is credited with singing, but it's not her singing. It's the other one. Oh. What do I know? But let's just listen. That it doesn't even matter. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared. That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. We have been talking to lots of people, but we're going to switch and speak directly to cast members from Zach Theater's performance production of Priscilla, the Queen of the Desert. And let's see if I get your name right a second time in a row. Anthony Tujarov.
Yeah.
And Chanel Haynes, you know, it's going to help if I turn your microphones on. And Chanel Haynes Schwartz.
Yes.
Hey, and then Lauren Lovell's over there. Scream. Okay, that was a nice scream.
Really great one.
Yeah, very, that was good.
The one earlier was pretty good.
Oh, before we get started, and we'll do this in a second, but Chanel, can you give me a number between 2 and 51?
3.
Three. Okay, great. We'll get to what that is in a second. Okay.
And did you? Yeah, we don't know what any numbers.
We don't know what any
anymore.
Numbers
this
are
is a
anymore.
Whole
it's all
new
different.
One. This really is a surprise.
So somebody tell me about this show, Chanel. No, Andrew. She's pointing to Andrew.
Anthony.
Can you change it to
two.
Andrew? I might find that a little bit easier to,
course,
to remember.
I'd love to. Anything
Anthony.
For you,
Anthony.
Yes, Anthony. So the show is obviously an interpretation of the movie, and if you're not familiar with the movie, it goes by a similar title. It's The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And it's basically this amazing story about three different generations of people, and they happen to be gay men, essentially, and then one transgendered woman, traveling across the desert in Australia, finding trouble, finding themselves, and finding disco music.
And some glorious costumes.
Yes,
some
lots really of glorious
lovely costumes.
500 of them.
500 yes. of them, so that you could have your own little...
Page.
Infographic
you beat,
exactly.
and the American Airlines thing.
Take that, Phantom.
So who did the costumes there, Zach, for this?
So these costumes were part of a rental package. I believe that there's two
an
other...
RP, we call those in the business.
Yes, sounds good. An RP. And we had to do a lot of fixing up because they had been in and out of boxes and all around different theaters around the local kind of communities. So our Zach Theater people did an amazing job of just kind of freshening them up, adding new
the whole
items
Wiz and Hunt Theater
amazing.
Right now. I was in the building dropping stuff off. The whole Wiz and Hunt Theater, Lisa, is like an extra costume shop with
that's amazing.
Glitter and feathers and
Nicole,
beads and sparkles. And if things are missing, Nick and Nick may have been little elves in the night.
So, Anthony, what do you play? Who do
I play Adam Felicia. So Adam is his male name, and then Felicia is his drag persona. So I play the young kind of rambunctious drag queen.
The one that gets in trouble.
The one who gets
the troublemaker.
Trouble.
And Chanel?
I am playing the role of Diva One.
Uh-huh.
it's not much different from my real life, so it's not that difficult for me to do this role. But I am new to theater. This is just my third musical theater experience.
Get out of town. Okay, so here's the deal. We're not going to talk about that right now.
Okay.
But as a tease for people to listen to backstage, if you're going to join us backstage, we're going to find out what the skinny is there with that.
Sure.
That sounds like fun. So let's just take this moment to find out what Chanel chose with her number three, shall we?
We shall.
Hi, I'm Don Toner from Austin Playhouse. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air, KOOP, Hornsby, Austin.
One of our more straight-ahead ones.
We haven't heard Don in a long time.
Don Toner. I actually listened to all of them in the car on the way over here.
So you heard Don.
And I heard them all. And I had to laugh with Lillian and Montevecchi and Kay Ballard going off on it again.
They're crazy ones. And Ben Vereen singing's pretty
Ben Vereen.
Good.
There's some great ones.
Stuart and I were drunk on the street after Rocky.
I was daydreaming of bugle beads when you were talking about your character. Would you tell me what was this? I really did. I was in the land of...
You like pretty trinkets, don't you?
I do.
Well, Diva One, and there's three divas, and it's pretty much like, I don't know, like the Supremes or, you know, of the show, and we're kind of the constant throughout the show. So the guys pretty much channel us, and so we're the singers, and they kind of lip sync to us. It's just a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fun.
So it would be like in Little Shop of Horrors.
I was just
like three...
very Little Shop with the women.
Awesome.
Except it's not. Like, it's Priscilla.
It's Priscilla. But I feel like they're all a lot more.
Let me ask you a question. I just read Frank Binch's review the other, and he calls it, and I would not personify this as this, but he calls it a jukebox musical. I wouldn't necessarily call it a jukebox musical. What do y'all think?
I describe it to people like that.
Do you?
Yeah,
okay, well, you're wrong.
I think it's one of those...
I always think of a jukebox musical.
I guess that was one artist, essentially, I guess, right?
But No, it's in my mind, it's a very thin show built around music. Like, I don't consider Jersey Boys a jukebox
musical. Like, it doesn't really have a narrative.
It doesn't have a narrative,
per se.
Or if it does, it's very thin, like
put a negative connotation to it in that
to
way.
To me, it does.
I feel like when you tell people, like, oh, it's a jukebox musical of the disco era,
right,
then they get excited about the music, and then you can kind of sell them on the story.
Right. Well, the good news for that, for people that don't want it, that either don't know or have that don't want to necessarily see it for whatever reason, that all the music is stuff they know.
Yeah, I'm like, it's Raining Men and Hot Stuff.
It is?
And they're like, oh, what? Oh. Yeah. I love those songs.
It's all really good music. The story's so good. It's a lovely little story.
It is. You mentioned it a little earlier. How closely does it follow the film, story-wise?
Pretty closely. I mean, they've done some great scene work that is very reminiscent of the film. Of course, there's a couple things that are changed, but for the most part, it's pretty true. It's pretty true to the story, which I appreciate.
Well, my friend Nia and I were talking about it the other day. We were saying, when you watch the movie,
it's a musical.
Australia
is a musical set.
Yeah. And it is a musical when you're watching it. You're like, this totally should just be on the stage.
Yeah.
So my mom went and saw this show once every 2 weeks
she
in
liked
New York.
It. She went to see it a lot.
She loved it. She was texting us. I'm at Priscilla today.
Tell us about your bus.
I love the bus. So I'm always right on side of the stage when Anthony is, you know, kind of prepping for the next, you know, appearance. So he's putting on his lipstick. And I just love that part. It's just kind of a little thing between us. But I love the backstage experience of it all and the reveal. There's all these reveals. And I'm just over the moon. It's a great... Yeah.
It's a tech-heavy and a costume-heavy show. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the process of building it. I know your director, Abe Reibold.
Yeah.
What was that like, building it with a choreographer and your director? Talk a bit about that aspect of it.
We kind of came in I came into a theater. I've never worked at Zach before, so I didn't really know what to expect from the creative team. And they've just been so kind and welcoming and, I mean, just giving us creativity to explore the roles, to explore how we're feeling about scenes.
Yeah.
And especially like Dominique Kelly, I mean, we would get in there and he'd be like, you know what? I just want to see like what your body looks like doing this choreography. And we would do something and he'd be like, I don't know. Let's fix it. What do you feel?
Awesome.
What do you feel?
Yeah.
Like, I feel
awesome.
Like this
the
is the arm,
really
you know?
Is.
And then he's like, yes, that's the arm. So there's a lot of creative freedom with us and them. It was such a great kind of collaboration.
The chemistry is beautiful.
Of course, with
how
them leading us.
How large is the cast? It's
24, 20, I think,
that's
right?
That's what I was
saying. Like
that's
one
a lot of Nair.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of Nair. Not all of them use it.
Ooh.
Right.
Some of them may use a razor.
Now I'm going to have those commercials in my head from the 70s. Thank you.
Welcome.
So, Anthony, what are some of the, because as I said, everybody's going to know all the music. What would be your iconic solo that people would come to hear and hear you sing?
Probably Venus. So that's a, you know, speaking of shaving commercials, yeah. That's what I think of. I'm like, ah, Mio Venus. But so, and then Hot Stuff, Donna Summer. I mean, you got to get that, you know.
What fun is that to sing?
It's so
now,
fun.
You guys are probably don't remember in your lifetime the disco era, is my guess. And
they're smiling at you so nicely.
I'm super nostalgic. I mean, I wear vintage clothing. I go to vintage shops. I listen to vintage music. So to me, like, this exploration of this music has been happening for the last 10 years in my life. So it's really cool.
So are you
cool
considering
kind of
this music vintage?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So,
We're old.
In the best way.
Yeah. There's
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's about just a bit over 60 different wigs. And I am a wig connoisseur. I name all of my wigs. I spend a little time with them.
How many wigs do you wear?
About over the course? Six of them, I think.
Six. And give us, just share two names.
Yes. Two names. One is Strawberry Shortcake.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know what color that is. Go on.
And the other is Summer, as in Donna Summer.
I love that.
So when audiences come to see this show,
if Summer's missing, I just misplaced her.
Nick. What do they expect? What will they expect other than high energy excitement, lots of costumes, lots of great songs? What could they expect?
A surprisingly touching story,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, wipe away all the glitter and wipe away all the costumes. It's three real people that are going through three different emotional levels in their life. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of fall in love with them and just realize that everybody has struggles, and male, female, transgender, whatever you may be, you know, everybody's going through different things, and you get to see it.
And I think the song We Belong, you know, at the end when you guys are standing on the mountain and you're singing that and you're gorgeous and bold and beautiful, and it just reminds everybody we all belong. I just think that's a moving part too.
Right, it's a touching story, and like Kinky Boots, it talks about acceptance of people just as people. Well, that's great. So if people wanted more information about the show, where would they go?
ZackTheater.org.
ZackTheater.org.
I mean, I did set it correctly.
And your official opening night happened, or is tonight?
Thursday.
And you play till when?
Until October 30th.
Great. Well, it was great to have you guys
thank
on the
you
phone.
For having
thank
us.
You so much for coming.
On the show. Nice to have you on the phone.
Can you hear
all right,
me now?
So I get one more chance to butcher your name, so here we go. That was Anthony now I'm overthinking it. Anthony Tudorov. Gosh, it's not that hard, Nicole. Anthony Tudorov and Chanel Haynes Schwartz, accompanied by Miss Lauren Lovell, with Zack Theater's production of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, playing now through October 30th at Zack's Topfer Theater. For more information, you may visit zacktheater.org. And we all just want to have fun.
That's all we really want.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
What?
You know how you listen to music and you don't really know what the lyrics are, and you sort of make stuff
all
up?
All the time.
When the Working Day Is Done is a lyric I just learned today.
Are you kidding me?
I have no idea what it said when Cyndi Lauper.
Okay, I don't even know what to say to that.
That's so funny. My a friend of mine always sang, bald-headed woman. Oh, no. Be like, how does that even make sense, Paige?
My favorite was, I'm not in love, so don't forget it. I forgot who sang it, but they get to a whispering part, and the line is, be quiet, requesting quiet, request. No, be quiet, big boys don't cry. And I always thought it was requesting quiet. locally. So one of the people that wanted to come on the show, I just didn't have room for them, was Austin Dance India's production that is empowering girls to action for girl power. It runs for two nights, October 8th and 9th at the Rollins on Long Center. For more information, you may visit longcenter.org. That's the way to do it.
Dun, 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 dun.
Either of you got anything special?
I have a preview performance of In the Red and Brown Water, presented by Texas Theater and Dance. It's tonight.
What is it?
Tonight
that sounds
only.
That's fascinating.
I know, right? How far will Olya go to make a mark in the world? It's about a young runner with boundless possibilities. She has to choose between her ailing mother and her own dreams. It's infused movement-infused theater. It sounds really cool. It is at the Oscar G. Brockett Theater tonight. Oh, no, wait. It runs through the 16th. This is just the one night listing I pulled up, not the full run.
Okay,
I was like,
so
really?
Run.
So it runs. It's tonight through the 16th, and it is there at the UT Performing Arts.
Okay.
Okay.
She's fading out.
TexasPerformingArts.org.
Is it a outside production or is it a University of Texas?
No, it's University
production?
Of Texas.
Yeah, you know, I do
theater
not go
and
see
dance
enough
department.
Of University of Texas. Anybody else go to a lot of UT stuff?
I don't.
Yeah.
You were just too. In something there, weren't you?
Physically.
Yeah.
What were you in?
You just did Persuasion.
I don't go to see a lot of stuff there.
Weren't you
in
Persuasion,
yeah, I did
right?
a reading there. Yeah.
Oh,
it was
that's
lovely.
Good.
Oh, Robert Ferris. And
I love me some Robert Ferris. Okay, well then we'll just jump right into today in theater history.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is the Broadway premiere in 1927.
Balmy year.
The balmy year of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, I love me some Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, the original Broadway Dracula was played by one Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there you go. So this is also the opening of the at the Court Theater, The Diary of Anne Frank. My aunt.
No, she really did think it was her aunt. You know,
I did.
She did till like, what, 15, 20 years ago?
Not too long ago.
Yeah, she really, truly thought it was her aunt.
It's a whole other story.
Y'all are all laughing, but it's true.
It is absolutely true. Skipping all the way up to 1995, the revival of Company, the Roundabouts revival with Boyd Gaines, Vivian Cox, Jane Krakowski.
Danny Burstein.
LaChance. I don't know LaChance.
Yes,
LaChance.
What are you talking about? Yes, you
LaChance.
Do.
LaChance.
Hello, Color
Once on
Purple,
this island.
Original cast.
Okay, well, then probably I do.
T-Moon and Once on This Island.
She recently was just in If Then.
Come
with
to
Idina.
Microphones if you guys are going to talk.
The last show I think she did was If Then with Idina Menzel and Anthony Rapp.
Oh, you know what? I think we had the same conversation.
Yes, because I'm like,
then.
Color Purple.
So here's an interesting. Marry Me a Little was added at that revival. It wasn't in the original.
Huh.
I think I knew
Anybody?
That for some strange reason.
Well, you know everything. That's
no,
why.
No, I don't know everything.
It's a good one to add.
It is
I totally
one to
don't
add.
Remember this. And you, both of you probably do, but I love it. Isaac Mizrahi had a show in 2000.
Yes.
Called Les Mizrahi.
Yes.
The Greenwich House Theater.
He does. Have you ever been to
I
any of his
him.
Crazy spoken
yes.
word
yes.
evenings
I
at like
it.
The Carlisle and stuff?
I he's love like, Isaac Mizrahi.
Okay, he's, well.
How did I miss this?
He has a little music stand when he does his shows and all of his paper and his hair is like Mad Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka, and his arms are My Crazy Italian Family everywhere and he's just going, it's kind of brilliant.
Well,
stuff.
So in this show, he sings and dances.
Yes.
And oddly enough, he also designed the sets and the costumes.
Can you believe that?
That's phenomenal.
But he also had a documentary film in 1995 called Unzipped.
You didn't? Yes.
I didn't.
I'll let you borrow it.
Well, you don't. I probably can Netflix it.
It's not as good as Connie and Carla.
No. Probably not.
See, thank you.
Love
for
that movie.
Here.
So good.
Is that a real movie? Kanye and Carla?
Connie and Carla.
Oh, Connie and Carla.
Toni
yeah.
Collette.
Yeah, no, I didn't see
so
it.
Good.
I know
Bertolles.
What you're talking about. But I thought you said Kanye and Carla. And I went, I don't know what that's about.
Freaking K, I guess, right?
And speaking of Mamma Mia, talking early. It
Here
started,
we go again.
It started its previews.
That was good.
That was good.
That was really
Yeah,
good.
We got it.
Sorry. I just gave myself a high five.
Did you hear what he did just then? Okay.
The fact that you had a permagrant.
2001. 2003, it was the Return of Tony Winning Revival 9, which I know you love.
Oh my God, that was the greatest
love.
Revival.
With Eartha Kitt
Ever.
And Marnie Nixon, who just passed away.
No, wait a minute.
Ago.
No, it was Cheetah. Eartha Kitt.
2003.
No. Eartha came in afterwards. Cheetah starred in the stuff. But remember, Eartha had the best
Oh, you know
taxi
what?
Cab driver.
You know what? No, this is the day they took the stage. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
they
I was
took
like, Eartha came in and filled out. It was
right.
Cheetah
okay.
Rivera, Laura Benanti, Mary Stuart Masterson, Antonio Banderas, Jane Krakowski. Jessica Brown was in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
A lot of water
it was
on
awesome.
That stage.
A lot of water, cool. Jane Silks. I don't know. Banana's awesome.
Cool. That's good. Sorry, I'm reading and I don't know why I had it. So this is the first revival of Chorus Line.
With
the choreography
Lopez.
Recreated by Bob Avion and Bayork Lee.
Didn't need to happen. But I know Bayork Lee was the original Chorus Line.
Bayork Lee was the original.
I know. Connie Wong, but.
Also forgot about this one. 13.
Oh, that's Jason Roberts Brown, and that's Jason how Robert Ariana Brown. Grande became Ariana Grande.
Very good. So I don't need to say anything. It's right there. It's about a boy and his 13th birthday and talking about his bar mitzvah, speaking of falsetto.
It's really cute. I actually enjoyed some of the music. I thought it was great to have a musical like that that spoke to teens.
Yep. And they all were teens. 13.
Teens.
Yep. 2011. Well, that's interesting. Okay. So I'm going, in 2011, the 2010 production, so it was the 2010 Broadway production of Driving Miss Daisy opened on the West End with Vanessa Redgrave, James Earl Jones, and Boyd Gaines. I remember when that happened, because they also did it in New York. So other birthdays today. Oh, before we go on, I just falsettos. Aunt Chickalella got to see the current version.
I know. Right. Well, she's up there doing a stage reading with another Broadway play.
Right,
yeah, she came back. Yeah. Yes, because she was almost in the Hoboken kerfuffle. I had to make sure she was okay.
What's the Hoboken kerfuffle?
The train station.
Oh, the train. I didn't realize it was in Hoboken. Okay. Huh? Okay. Birthdays. Glennis Johns. Speaking of Mary Poppins.
Hello.
Heather McRae.
Oh, thank you. You need to text her. I love her. Oh, that's great to know.
She's old. She's older than I am.
We're dog park buddies. I love you, Heather.
She's 12 years older than me.
Oh,
and I'm old.
She's divine, Miss McRae.
Okay.
She's got a great collection of quilts.
Locally, Amy Lewis and Megan Minto's birthday today. Happy birthday to them.
Happy birthday.
Tomorrow, Haley Smith.
Oh, hello.
Co-op's very own Tom Laird.
Really?
Yep. His birthday's tomorrow. And then on Friday, somebody named Michael Barnes. I'm not quite sure who he is.
You know who else has a Friday birthday?
Quincy Kirkendall.
And you know who else has a Friday birthday?
Adam Rodriguez.
And you know who else?
That's all I know.
Dale Watson.
Dale Watson, who I listened to his legal ID today, which is really funny.
His legal ID is hilarious.
And then Saturday, Ann Richards' birthday. So lots of local birthdays. Not the Ann Richards you're thinking of.
Oh.
Ann Richards. There's an Ann Richards
there's
here.
There's a local Ann Richards
that's
performer.
That's an actress lady.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. So that's it. Oh my God, we're so late. Let's take a break. We're gonna listen to what are we listening to?
Music.
Line.
Some ditty.
Line.
A little ditty.
Ditty. Here we go.
See, I really couldn't sing. I could never really sing. What I couldn't do was
sing.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro, Nick Mayo, Nick Squared.
Dun, dun,
we are talking.
We need a better theme song.
We're talking to part of the cast of Incorruptible, who are incorrigible. We have Lori Cordova. Welcome, Lori.
Hi.
James Springer. Hi.
Hello.
And Jason Jones.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good. Doing great.
We're good. We're good.
So tell us about Incorrigible.
It's incorruptible.
Incorruptible. Why do I keep doing that?
Well, you're incorrigible.
I am incorrigible. Michael Hollinger wrote it in 1993, 6, 2?
Yeah, something around
like
there.
Yeah, don't get me lying.
Tell us about it. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Go ahead, James.
It is a dark comedy about the Dark Ages. It takes place in a monastery in...
Priseau.
In Priseau, France. And someone else.
James, did I see you next door in a dress and pageant?
You sure did.
I'm just
much prettier
at you right
days.
Now, and you are wearing fatigues and an army shirt.
And school spirit day.
And I just had a moment where I said, I know him, but I don't know him and not in a dress. You were wonderful in pageant.
Thank you.
There you go. What did you play in pageant? Miss who?
Miss Deep South.
Miss Deep South. My friend Brian Jensen played that here in town the last time I saw it.
That was Brian.
That was Brian. He played Miss Deep South. Okay, so Incorruptible is the Pope is in this.
Well, he doesn't
doesn't make an appearance.
That might count as a spoiler. He's supposed to
it's
be
in,
coming.
It's in all the. It's in all. It's
oh, is it? He's supposed to be coming.
He's on his way.
He's on his way. Right.
To settle, there's some differences, are there not?
There is a group of nuns in Bernay. Have somehow acquired our saint, which is actually interesting because historically this actually happened in a different place in France where the relics of Saint Foy that we talk about in the show all the time were actually stolen.
Well, there you go.
And there sold you go. To another church.
So when I look at the playbill, which I have in my hand here.
The graphic is pretty crazy.
The graphic is a skull with some sort of like halo behind it. What's the significance of that?
Well, the fishing hook.
Yeah, the fishing hook has some significance within the show that you'd have to see that to get a look at it as a thing that happened to one of the characters. But the skull is actually about the fact that we are broke, and in our complete lack of funding, unable to bring in any pilgrims because our saint doesn't work any miracles, the minstrel that comes in has the idea that we should use our graveyard to our advantage in terms of selling relics to other churches.
Okay, really?
There wow. it is.
Boy, in order to make ends meet.
It's hilarious.
I think there's some rules against that. So tell us who each of you play. Jason, who do you play?
I play Charles, the Bishop of Prisot.
The Bishop of Prisot. Do you have a French accent?
I do not. In fact, we don't do accents in the show at all.
We do not do accents. We are too good for accents.
Yeah, not at all.
Et donc, vous êtes here.
And Lori?
I played the peasant woman.
The peasant woman. That was... I was going to make some... I had something. It's totally gone. James Springer, what do you play?
I play Brother Martin. He's the second in command and hoping to get his hands on the top spot at the monastery.
And this is billed as a farce.
Yes. Correct.
So we're expected to have a lot of fun here when we go see it, right?
It is a lot of fun.
How many people are in the cast?
Eight.
Eight people.
Just eight.
Great.
So eight's a good amount.
Yes.
Yeah, just eight.
Just
wonderful.
Eight.
Eight's a really good amount.
So with the farce, is it a fast-paced, door-slamming sort of farce? Or
is it? There aren't very lots many doors comedy. Because it's a monastery, but there are a few.
There's some archways.
Yeah, there are a few doors.
There's some herb gardens.
There's some running into stuff, mistaken identity.
Now, lots of bones.
You have opened lots there at the Gaslight Theater in Lockhart. We should say that this is the Gaslight Theater in Lockhart, Texas. Well worth a trip down there to see it. It's a gorgeous little theater.
I'm shaking my head yes, which does not work on radio.
Does not
but
work
yes,
on radio.
Yes.
How have the show been going?
Great. We had a great opening weekend.
Really did.
People really enjoyed it. I think we kind of got to a spot where we were like, is this funny?
So like you do in rehearsal,
and then,
right?
And then we opened, and people laughed where they were supposed to. And it was
did
great.
They laugh? Were there laughs in unexpected places?
Oh yes, or at least for me, there were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything you want to share? Any good? The surprise reaction from audience that you weren't expecting to get?
I don't think I have any surprises. There's this one lovely gentleman in Lockhart who's a longtime patron of the Gaslight Baker, and he likes to sit on the front row, and he's one of those great fellas that's always talking in between everybody's lines or when the lights go out. And
I'll call my uncle and tell my sister.
Right. And he's just charming. And the lights go out for intermission, and I hear him say, "That guy reminds me of Barney Fife." You know, we get lots of fun characters down in Lockhart.
That is great. So you've opened. How long are you playing?
Until October the 22nd.
October the 22nd, and at the Gaslight Theater. And who's going to come to see this? This looks like this is an all ages show. I'm guessing. We don't have to keep the kid, or is it a little risque for kids?
It's a little cheeky. There are some cheeky moments, but
PG-13.
Oh, definitely, at least. And actually, I think the cheekier things are a little more on the clever side, where I think even smaller children would enjoy it just because it's so fun. And we've got a beautiful set. And
who did the set?
Robin Gamelbeck, who's our director.
Uh-huh.
We've got beautiful costumes. And
done by the lovely Lori Cordova.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
And it's fun to watch, you know, I think even for the little ones that might not get it.
Well, great. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Hopefully, you guys can stick around at Backstage. Where do folks go to get more information about the show?
www.mygbt.org.
I love that website, by the way. I just love the name of it. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on, and good luck with the rest of your run.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
That was Lori Cordova, James Springer, and Jason Jones of Gaslight Baker Theater's production of Incorruptible, interviewed by the incorrigible Lisa Sheps, running now through October 22nd at the Gaslight Baker Theater in Lockhart. For more information, you may visit mygbt.org. And, you know, I was trying to find just the right piece of music. This isn't maybe the right, but I it was fun.
I got excited that I saw you picked it.
It's called The Corrupt Bargain. Okay. Probably the funnest show from Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Song from Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
Would agree. I love it, and it's our man.
I think it's a good choice to go out.
I thought it was a great choice.
I did too. But it needed a little. It wasn't immediately recognizable, and needed a little explanation.
It's okay.
So I explained it.
It's still good stuff.
Well, we did it. We got a minute and a half. We got actually 30 seconds to say goodbye. So I'm saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
I will not be here next week, so I'm leaving it to the two of you. Y'all will have all sorts of fun.
Absolutely. Shenanigans.
Okay, remember, we're coming right up to Backstage at Offstage, and if you're not listening to the podcast, you should be.
You should be.
Yeah, so...
And you should be downloading it. You should be giving us awesome reviews that say that we rock.
Yeah, go. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on Stitcher. You can subscribe to us. You can also get
us... Best way.
Oh, is there a best way?
There is a best way.
Tell us.
Go to offstageonair.com. Enter your email in the little box there, and the three of us just arrived. Woo!
We'll send it right to you. So those of you that are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast right now, stick around. We're going to go backstage with our guests. If you're lucky enough to be listening on the air, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are next. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is a little bit from Falsettos, because who doesn't love Falsettos?
Good
My
choice.
Favorite song.
I was sure growing up I would live the life my mother assumed I'd live. Very Jewish.
The curtain has just come down on Anger Management, the musical. The story of Robert De Niro's quest to find love in the big city of Boise, Idaho, searching high and low in a restaurant on the east side. I don't know what any of that meant.
Did you see the movie Anger Management?
No, I did not.
There is a movie, Anger
Management.
I know
there is, and Robert De Niro was in it. But that's as far as I know. So here we are backstage.
Well, I should say to you, Happy New Year! It's Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, Lashana Tova for those for all you Jewish theater geeks out there.
Yeah, I felt a little like, JTGs, I'm sorry, I didn't say it on air earlier.
It's okay.
See, it's another reason why you listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
we go global here.
If I wasn't told Happy New Year yesterday by somebody else, I wouldn't have even known.
Oh, so, well, it started Sunday at sundown.
And it did. Thank you. I know.
I know.
Sunday at sundown. But I was on, when I said yesterday, I meant Monday.
Because it's funny, Rosh Hashanah to me is how I know the holidays all start, and I feel like everything just trucks through after that. Once Rosh Hashanah happens, it's Halloween.
Well, oftentimes it's in September. Okay, joining us backstage is just about everybody. Anthony Tujarov. Tujarov. Why? Why am I having such a hard time with that?
What is the heritage of that last
name? So my dad's from Bulgaria, and it's Macedonian, so it's like Eastern European.
Totally. And yeah. I'm Eastern European as well.
Oh, awesome.
Shepsov. That's not true. I mean, I am Eastern European, but
you
that's
are
not
Eastern European, but I didn't know about the Shepsov. That
Schnell Hans Schwartz.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And again, remember, give us your best theater voices in here. Project like Hoji and I do over here.
like Liza Minnelli singing to mama.
Mr. Jason Jones.
That's me.
That's you. And Mr. James Springer.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Well, I think everybody, none of you have been backstage before.
No, I think this is all new.
I'm going to start with Chanel first because I'm very excited. So this is, you told us on the on-air portion that this is just your third show ever?
Yes, in theater.
What's the skinny there? Tell us.
Well, the skinny is I've been a recording artist for 20 years, Grammy nominated.
Do I have one of your CDs?
I don't know.
Which one? What? Name me one.
Well, it was a girl group, Trinity 5-7.
Yeah, I got it.
And just one of my highlights of my career.
That's
so
awesome. Let me ask you a question about that. This is apropos of nothing, really. Well, it's apropos of nothing. But so many times we hear girl groups are, and boy groups, mm-hmm. are marketed by someone else. It sort of puts the thing together.
Yeah.
And was that a similar thing, or were you gals really?
So initially, I was a Star Search contestant when I was a teenager.
That's awesome.
Wow. And we were shopping for.
Don't be embarrassed. It's great.
I was like, I'd be so
Star Search is the original. Yeah. Whatever the big one is now.
Star Search, baby, with Ed McMahon.
Yeah, Ed McMahon. But yeah, just I started shopping for labels, and they said, yeah, we really like this girl, but we need a girl group. And started our career in 98. And I don't know, it's just been a whirlwind. I've always had a desire in my heart to do theater. But, you know, for me, when things come to me, then I know it's designed and ordained for me to experience it. I didn't, you know, it was in my heart, but it came to me, and now I'm just completely in love with musical theater.
So before we get to that, where were you in your girl group days? Were you in LA?
We're all originally from New Orleans.
Uh-huh. I've heard of that place, by the way.
Yeah.
I have. Serious. I know it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we recorded 7 of our albums in Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No worries.
That's my phone's ring. I will ignore that.
Yeah, so I spent most of, our career in Los Angeles.
And what brought you here to Austin, Texas?
Well, Matthew Knowles was my manager for 7 years, uh-huh. which he's based out of Houston. And my husband came to UT to finish his PhD, so kind of then pushed me to Austin. Was here 3 years and didn't do any musical theater. And a friend called me and said, you have to try out for Sophisticated Ladies, which was my first theater experience. And
great show to start out with. Great the one. Man. The one,
Zach, right?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't get to see.
No, I didn't. But the that show that really is bad. Just fabulous.
Such a good show. So much fun. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so what are the other two? The other one?
The other one was Christmas Carol. And
this last one, so the second year of this version of Christmas Carol.
Yes, the second.
I am a big proponent of that Christmas Carol.
You enjoyed yourself.
I enjoyed myself, and I felt that the criticisms, whatever the word is I'm kind of thrown at it, were not justified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't often...
She doesn't often feel that way, and it's funny. Something came up, and I said, I have to tell you, Lisa Sheps enjoyed herself. I use you as an example for that show and how much you really had a good time.
Yeah, it's great.
Will you be doing it again this year?
I will. Yeah.
Oh, I'll that's be doing exciting. It again.
Oh, awesome. So is this your new career trajectory, theater?
I believe so. It's you know, I've already been invited to come to New York to investigate some agents out there. And, you know, again, I'm just an open spirit. Yeah, like, cool. I just want to receive what is mine. I don't want anybody else's. I want what's mine.
So don't get threatened, you guys. Yeah. This is no threat. Are you a triple threat?
I'm definitely a stronger vocalist. Uh-huh. It's my third show, so I will not like sit here and say, "Oh my God, you are in for it." But vocally,
you're in on your feet. Yeah.
But I mean, all of my reviews so far has been very positive, awesome. And I guess that she counts for something.
Awesome,
you serve it up.
Awesome, Jason Jones. Where are you from? Wait, you're from Lockhart, Texas, I bet.
That's where I live now. Yes, ma'am.
No, where are you from?
I was born here, Austin, Texas.
Okay. For a second, I was wondering if you were talking about this studio.
No.
No, you were born in Austin.
No, I'm a native Austin.
Now, did you move out to Lockhart because you like the country kind of feel of it, or was there another reason?
My parents moved out there, and I was living with them at the time. Okay. So,
you kind of liked it out there.
I stayed. I stayed.
And what brought you into doing theater?
Well, honestly, I kind of grew up in it here in town. I was in the 4 Under 19 company at Zach Scott back in the 70s.
It was the 70s, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was the 70s, yeah. And
I'm older than I look.
So. What you didn't see was Jason just pointed to his gray beard.
Yeah, I was covering it. And
a
it was
covering.
There
I'm
going to
say pointed.
So you wouldn't know.
Yeah, we could see it. It's right on your face.
There you go. Plain is the beard on my face. Yeah, so anyway, with Alice Wilson and some folks back then, and I stayed in theater for a long time. When I was in my early 20s, I took a hiatus, and I didn't go back for a long time. Mm-hmm. Had some kids and a life, and when I returned to it a few years ago, it's just
kind of stayed with me now.
And you're there at that little jewel of the Gaslight Theater.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've been out there.
I've actually never been inside the theater. I've passed it. I've seen it. The outside is just adorable, and I wanted to buy it, of course, when I first came here to build a theater. I have a very dear friend that lives out in Lockhart, so I used to go out to Lockhart quite a bit. And so do you do most of your work in Lockhart, or do you do any work here in town?
I have just been in Lockhart since I got back on stage in 2012. I work with children at the Unity Performing Arts.
Right.
They're in Lockhart, Texas.
Right. And if I saw in your bio, you do you work with children and in arts education.
I do.
He believes the children are the future.
They are. All you have to do is do something and set them free.
And let them lead the
way.
There
you go. Yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. How do you like working with the kids out there?
It's fulfilling. It's good to see them. It's a non-audition group, so I get a lot of kids that, you know, their parents put them in because they're scared of their own shadow, or they...
like me.
Yeah, so...
Those are kind of the coolest kids, because you watch them grow in ways as a human.
Right.
That is just so amazing.
Right.
And you also never know. My parents sent me to an acting school at age 9 to get me out of the house, and look what happened.
No, it's great. And occasionally, I've only been doing that for 5 or 6 years, but I'll occasionally get a kid come through that I'm just, okay, this one's going somewhere. So we deal with those parents a little differently and try to get them on track. But it's been great.
Cool.
I like that. They don't deal with the kids differently. We deal with the parents a little differently.
We deal with them a little differently.
So, James, when you're not in a dress on stage or waiting tables on stage, what are you doing?
I'm a special ed teacher's assistant.
Get out of town, really?
Small middle school.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's why you have it. What was today's day?
Today was camo day to support the armed forces. And so I'm.
Camo day.
Quite
I love it.
Atrocious with all my camo.
Well, you would full out. I mean, you committed. They asked, you committed.
Yeah.
Did the kids all dress up?
Yeah. A lot of them did. More today than the first 2 days. But
where do you teach?
Small middle school. In Southwest Austin.
Is it a small middle school?
It is a large middle school now, but it's named Small Middle School.
I just love that. So how did you find where did you grow up, first of all?
I grew up in West Virginia, right outside
almost
of Charleston.
Almost heaven, Charleston.
Something like that.
Charleston's a pretty town.
It is.
I was
the
just
whole
there.
State. It's beautiful.
That is a haunted town. Let me just tell you something. The ghosts of the past talk to you when you walk through that town.
Mrs. Muir's there.
It's kind of crazy.
So
you, what brought you to Texas?
I came to work at a ranch for at-risk teenagers. And then once I got here and started teaching, then I fell in love with it. And
James, it sounds like you're a do-gooder. Are you a do-gooder?
I like to do good.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
I really appreciate it. The world needs more do-gooders. And I like that you're doing that work. Did you do theater there in
West Virginia? Not. Actually, my high school didn't even – we had an after-school drama club, but we didn't have – theater as a class.
Wow.
So I didn't even know I liked theater until...
Because where did you get these pipes? Because you have a lovely singing voice.
I did music all the way through. And then in college, I was taking voice lessons. And then I was at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And my voice teacher said that I should try to do musical theater, the competition. That they were going to a national competition, and they asked me to try it. And I tried it, and I loved it. And
cool. So then
I came to Texas and was looking for something to do and a group to get to be part of, and got involved in theater.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you here. So this is this your first time to work down in Gaslight? I mean, down in Lockhart?
No, it's my fourth show there.
Fourth show. And you live here in Austin, right?
I live in San Marcos.
Okay.
Well, you just bebop around everywhere.
That's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
That's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
And
you're very happy. You don't have, like, road rage.
I have an hour in the car every morning to calm.
So what do you listen to in the car to make yourself happy?
It depends. A lot of my... collection of musical theater show tunes.
Lovely.
Sometimes I'll be belting all morning.
What's your current musical theater guilty pleasure?
My current guilt.
It doesn't have to be a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
What's your go-to right now?
Let's see what's recent. I'm loving me some Bright Star right now.
Oh.
I was just talking about Bright Star the other day.
It's so funny, I was too.
It's cool to me because, I grew up in West Virginia, so I have some of those bluegrassy roots, and I never really, pictured it in a musical theater.
Oftentimes, I have bluegrassy roots too, but I just went and had my hair done. So they're gone.
Yeah, so that's one of the big ones.
Well, awesome.
I like to keep it.
Well, good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing more of you in dresses or not in dresses.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Miss Deep South. Anthony.
Hi.
Hi. You're from Houston.
Well, I live there now.
You live there now.
I'm originally from Canada, actually.
Oh, I like Canada.
In Alberta.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you a Canadian citizen?
I am a Canadian and an American citizen.
Oh, look at
you. Crazy
dual.
Yeah,
so I get to leave if anything crazy
happens. You've got the pass
already.
Possible
crazy thing could happen in the near future. Well, Austin, did you do theater in Canada? What's theater like in Canada? Tell us about Canadian theater.
I did not. I left so early that I've been living in the States for about 16 years. So people, I don't even really remember Canada. Okay. I have like loonies and things.
Did you go to Texas from Canada? That seems like an odd.
Like,
oh
my gosh. Yeah.
Such an adventure happened between then and there. It's North Carolina, South Carolina, Iowa, New York, Los Angeles, Miami. I mean, every place.
Running from the law?
Exactly. Literally on the run.
Well, how did you get down to Texas?
My father works in machinery, and he actually took a job in Houston. And I was on my way home to move back to where I grew up. And my family's like, well, we don't have a family home there anymore.
You got
so,
no place to stay.
Like, no, but you don't understand. Like, I need to
They're
move
like,
back
but
home.
You don't understand.
Exactly. Like, well, we'll be in Texas. So I said, okay, well, let's try out Houston. I don't know much about it, but I know it's a big city. So hopefully there'll be more opportunities there. So.
Yeah, Houston's a
food
pretty cool
is
time.
Incredible, and it has my Texans.
And I forgot what theater, but they just won an American Theater Wing scholarship. One of nine, I think, in the country. Houston Theater. It wasn't Center Stage. Maybe it was Center Stage. Some Houston theater just won a big scholarship.
That's awesome.
Good for you, was Lisa. But you worked. You've done Tuts.
Yes, I did Mary Poppins over there.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Did you play Bart?
No, I was actually in the Bert, ensemble, which was...
I'm talking about Bart, who's a member of one of the ensemble people.
Bart, the chimney sweep.
Yes, I meant Bert.
He's a remember
right.
That Bart.
Well, that's cool. Have you done a lot with Tuts?
I have not. That was my first production, getting back into theater after 4 years of kind of being like, I can't do this anymore. And then coming back, and then I just wanted to start doing shows that I had a connection to and something that was special. So when I found out Priscilla was here in Austin, I just... Like
Mary Poppins everything. Is a big show to go, hey, I'll go back to theater. Like, those are big numbers and a very large ensemble show.
And Tuts is quite a player on the national marketplace, so that's great. Yeah, we were just talking about Tuts last week, weren't we?
We were.
I went on an audition, and I said, if I'm supposed to be doing theater again, then I'm going to book this job, and this will kind of be the...
You and Chanel are in that zone where if the universe wills it, I'm there for it.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I open myself up
to
the possibilities. Triple threat?
Yes, I believe so.
Excellent. Do a couple double tours for me right now.
No, I'm actually classically trained in ballet. That's how I started. Uh-huh. And then I got kicked out of class so many times for talking and goofing around that my mother just got me in the car one day. We were living in Iowa, and she just drove me to this audition for Christmas Carol. And that's she's like, you're going to audition for the show because I think it'd be great for you. So I got cast as the dance.
Because you can talk and dance.
Exactly. And then I was just running around. So then since then, I kind of got bitten by the bug and did a bunch of theater growing up and was crazy into it in high school and went straight out of high school into performing professionally and then got tired.
Took some time off.
It happens.
Exactly. Now I'm back.
That's the good thing about being young and having some time in front of you. You can take those times to do that, and it's important to be able to do that to ride your little roller coaster. Right?
Well, I don't know about you, but we all sold our souls to the devil in here. We'll always look perpetually 30.
Okay, I'll go for that. Well, I'm so glad that you guys came back. Oh, wait, do you hear that? Wow, it's that song from Bright Star.
I know, that bluegrass, that Steve Martin.
I love that song. What's
the
name of that song?
You know that Edie Brickell? I went to the same high school as Edie Brickell.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of that song into the microphone? That we're listening to. He's okay. It's the name of the song is
Whoa Mama.
Thank you guys for coming to us backstage. We appreciate
you.
Having taken the time. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.